The Brian Golf Show is presented by Pinned Golf. Did you know they actually had rangefinders in the PGA Championship? A major golf tournament allowed rangefinders during tournament play, competition play. It's kind of crazy. And of course, we're going to talk about the U.S. Open. That's a big tournament that's going on literally right now as you're listening to this, if you listen to it in the next 4 days. But the fact of the matter is rangefinders are a thing, and you need to have the right one without it breaking the bank. So go to pinnedgolf.com. That's P-I-N-N-E-D golf.com and use the promo code BrianGolf, Brian with a Y, to save on your rangefinder. So U.S. Open week. Here I am. I'm popping up the IG. We're just going to screw it and do it live, as they say. So let's flip this around. We're going to go live and talk to my friend Johnny Wonder, who you might not know, but you probably know, as he currently works for Callaway Golf. He is on site at Torrey. He's been there all week. Obviously, Callaway is based right there, so we're going to talk to Johnny Wonder, record the pod, doing it on IG Live, and we're going to see exactly what he's got going on in the pulse of the U.S. Open from Johnny's eyes. Obviously, here from the shop in Jacksonville, Florida, from afar, I'm just kind of chilling here thinking about the U.S. Open. I'm extremely anxious and nervous about the next 4 days of golf. Obviously, we're coming off the PGA Championship. If you're live on IG, welcome. We're recording a podcast here. There's Johnny Wonder coming off a big PGA Championship where certain Phil Mickelson just won. So we're on high here. Let's get Johnny coming in. Maybe? Did it work? Maybe it didn't work. Let's try that again. Is he there?
Well, yeah. We're not on site at Torrey anymore, Brian. We're at a what we would call a Marriott hotel.
You might as well be on site, my friend. That is as on site as it gets.
The intro.
He's on site, everybody. If anybody's been watching your IG, Johnny Wonder, welcome to the Brian Golf Show, presented by Pinned Golf.
Well, happy to be here. And as always, I'm just trying to adjust my camera so you guys don't see the top of my forehead. Okay, there we go.
Well,
how are you, Brian?
I'm fantastic. I was just explaining I'm anxious, I'm nervous, I'm ready for the next 4 days of golf.
Well, I saw some, I will say, yesterday I saw some things that made my jaw hit the floor. So I went and followed young John Rahm around for about six holes and saw that up close. And I'll say this right now, if he doesn't win, I'll be shocked. Like the last time I felt this confident about a golfer was like 2000 Tiger going into Pebble when everybody's like, this guy's going to blow away the field. John Rahm's going to blow away the field.
Yeah.
It was frightening to watch how good he's hitting it.
How does he, let's be real, how does he not win, Johnny? Can you just kind of kick this off and tell us how John Rahm doesn't win the U.S. Open?
Well, we can't use COVID because that's been done.
She gone.
I don't know. He'd have to have a stroke. So I know.
Which let's hope to God that doesn't happen.
So this is the cool thing for the people that aren't on site or whatever. So Monday, Tuesday, they weren't letting civilians in to the event. It was just people like, you know, tour reps and agents and whoever could follow around. So he went off by himself with his, you know, it was Rahm, Adam Hayes, his caddy, Jeff Koski, his agent, myself, and his coach, the guy from TPI. So just like four or five of us walking. Best player in the world, hands down, following this guy. I just had him all to myself. So he gets on I chase him down on like the second tee. The second tee is like a shorter par four. It's like one of the first scoring opportunities you actually have. And he hits, vaporizes five wood down there. Has like a little chippy wedge. So like the point of the story is this: he's putting a peg in the ground, he's smoking it, not even looking where it's going, chasing it down, hitting it to a foot, kicking it in, going to the next tee, vaporize another one, hit another one, knock it. It was just like that. You know, usually in a practice round, guys will hit two or three shots. There was none of that shit. It was like bada bing, bada bing, bada bing, bada bing, and he wasn't even looking where the ball was going. He just hit it and pick up the tee and start walking after it. I'm like, this guy is a monster.
Well, Look, I mean, like, we have a like an intro, like a game at the club, you know, where you pick six guys or whatever it is, and they take the top four out of six, and that's your score. And whatever, there's shop credit on the line, but I don't do any kind of gambling or anything like that. And so this is like, these are my official picks, right? And in the top tier, I was just like, no hesitation, John Rahm. I didn't even think about it. I was just like, John Rahm. And it's not just, it's so many things. Obviously his good history, I'd say at Torrey, he's got personal history. And also, we've got, you know, his competition history at Torrey. What just happened at Memorial, I'm not talking about the COVID shit. I'm talking about the fact that the dude was playing the best golf out of everybody, hands down.
He would have won that. He would have won that tournament. So there was a, there's a statistician guy that I talked to. I'm not going to tell you his name. It's like a super, he's like an NFA guy on tour, right? He has all the stats. So he broke down patterns of players. And he goes, and this is like day two of Memorial. And he says, statistically, when John Rahm plays like this, he kind of called it out. He said, Saturday he's going to shoot 67 or 68. He's like, the chances of him shooting anything over par on Sunday, it was like statistically impossible. He's like, so basically, he's probably going to shoot 69 on Sunday, which means he's going to win by 8 or 9. But he also said, when he's like this, these patterns for him last like 6 weeks.
I can see it.
So when he gets on runs like this, the way he's hitting the ball, and it's all based, that's my dad, by the way.
What? Mr. Wonder.
He came in for Father's Day to, we got him tickets. Jimmy Walker left his tickets for the U.S. Open. So.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, James Walker. So he came to work with me today. And
dude, I'm just glad he had pants on.
He had pants. He got a glass of vino. So he's fine. But it took him around. I kind of traded him around last night. They had the True Temper party at the U.S. Open last night. So he got to rub elbows with Roger Cleveland and Chip Brewer, and he got to meet all the tour guys, and like it was pretty funny.
That's legit, man. So John Rahm, obviously your pick. I'm assuming my pick. We can kind of go off that. What's it like, Torrey? How's it set up? What's the vibe from the players? How is everybody talking about it? Is it going to be a brutal Open, or is 7-8 under going to win?
Yeah. So the way that this is my first U.S. Open, so I've never experienced it live, right? But I've obviously followed it pretty closely, so I know the course setup and I know kind of what happens. So the golf course was really lush 10 days ago. So if you would have shown up to Torrey on Saturday or Sunday, or even Friday or Saturday of last week, you're talking 5-inch rough. The greens were fast. The fairways were fast, which Torrey's not really designed to have fast fairways. So what they did on Sunday, I believe, they dumped a bunch of water on the course, and they cut some of the rough down progressively. So like right off the fairway, it's patchy and long, and then it gets pretty playable, and then it gets long, but they're not going to cut it anymore, and they're barely going to put any water on the golf course until Sunday, so at the end of play. And there's a lot of dips and valleys to this golf course, so whenever you see brown patches at the top of the hills early in the week, that means that the whole golf course is going to be hard and fast by the end of the week, so it's already getting brown. So everybody can see it walking along the fairways. They're like, this place is going to play impossible. So basically anybody that makes the cut Friday, if they survive, Saturday, Sunday is going to be, it's going to be a shit show.
Well, a little bit of, even par on the weekend's good, huh?
I think my over under is like one under, like, okay. I think one or two under is going to, like, right around there is going to win. Like nothing, no one's going to light this place up.
I love that, though. Like, my favorite part of the U.S. Open is when even par is the target score.
Because that's a U.S. Open.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I hate that it becomes a thing where it's, like, difficulty in the golf course setup and all that. But I go back to, like, Payne Stewart, Phil Mickelson, Pinehurst, number two. That is, for me, that is my U.S. Open. I base everything off of that U.S. Open. It's truly, I watched maybe as a beginner golfer, I watched a little bit of Olympic Club in 98 when Payne Stewart lost to Lee Jansen. Yeah. And then I just, so for me coming into golf, like, I've got a lot of Payne Stewart history, right? But so it all really starts though. I watched four rounds of golf, because you got to remember, Tiger Woods was also a part of that mix at Pinehurst. So to me, that's the U.S. Open. I want it to be like that. You know, so I'm happy.
It should be. And when they had like the opens at Erin Hills, and I'm not even gonna reference Chambers Bay because that was not a U.S. Open. That was some other fucking disaster.
You know, I tell people all the time that's like one of my favorite, if not my favorite, golf courses I played.
I can't stand it. I would say that to anybody. You could have Mr. Chambers Bay walking through me. I'm like, that was the biggest waste of land that you've ever created and I've ever seen. It's not Washington Golf. It's not representative of anything in the state. You took a great plot of land, could have made it a great park, and it's a state full of trees, and there's one tree on the golf course.
Man,
what are you thinking?
I hate to hear that, but yeah, you're a Washington guy. You're from there.
I can't stand that golf course. I can't stand it.
I love it.
It's a shtick.
But
anyway,
so this isn't Erin Hills. This isn't Chambers Bay. This is a true U.S. Open 2008 style.
See, like you said, 98 U.S. Open. My first U.S. Open that I really dug into was the Baltusrol one that Lee Jansen won. 93 was the first one that I was. It 93 or 94? 90. Yeah, and Oakmont was 94. So 93, Lee Jansen won the Baltusrol, beats Payne Stewart. Came in second that year. That was the first time I'd seen, you know, really dug into a U.S. Open. That was my first experience of, like, you know, the long raw screens. And you know, basically 93, 94, you know, 95, all those years in the mid-90s up to, you know, hell, probably 2009, 2010, the U.S. Open predominantly played very top, like 2 or 3 under 1. And then once we got into, like, the mid-2000s, 15, 16, the score started to go up, like, you know, 9 under would win. I think 12 under or 13 under won when in Erin Hills, whatever Brooks won that year. There was a couple of years it was like really high numbers. That to me is not a U.S. Open. Like it's not the same thing. So anyway,
do you see what they were trying to do though by going to those kind of courses?
Yeah, they're just trying to expand in my opinion, they're trying to expand the list and try to get people to see other parts of the country and different types of golf courses. But who said that we needed that?
Well, you know, a public golf course like Bethpage Black just doesn't quite sound the same, even though you don't like it. And I like it.
I like Bethpage.
No, but
like
I'm saying Chambers Bay, right? Like, it's still like, I understand going to Bethpage Black forever.
Sure.
I get trying Chambers Bay, but I also understand why people were like, that's not a U.S. Open golf course. So with that being said, though, you know,
at Chambers Bay, though, they played a U.S. Am there, and the complaints were the same. They're like, okay, cool. Like, I understand it's like a photo op. We just played the U.S. Am there. But the players of the U.S. Am were like, oh, my God, we have to have an Open here. This is amazing.
Right.
I never heard that. It was like, this is a circus.
Yeah, but how much of it was more about, like, public golf? And obviously, Torrey Pines, public golf course, you know, there's people that get to play that all the time as their home course, and it's a public muni.
So they could have had that U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, and everybody would have been just fine.
It's kind of remarkable that we haven't been back to Torrey since 2008.
It is kind of remarkable. Actually remarkable that they chose Chambers Bay not to go back to Torrey.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, to your point, they very easily, I didn't think of it like that. If you wanted to hit the public golf course, just go to the public golf course that created lasting memories.
Yeah, arguably one of the, I mean, I could say this with some conviction, like the Saturday, Sunday of that U.S. Open was probably the most memorable 36 holes of golf that we've seen probably in the last 20 or 25. I can't think of another golf tournament that was like that. When Tiger was coming back and Rocco was in the hunt, Lee Westwood was playing good. Like, that was an epic 36 holes of golf. And yeah, they wait 13 years to come back to Torrey was a little weird, but whatever.
It's crazy.
No one's asking me for my advice, I can tell you.
No, but you're there, and you love golf, and you're extremely passionate, not just about golf, but about your majors too, because all of our biggest memories in golf are tied to majors, right? So here we are, we're on the eve of another major. By the time the podcast airs tomorrow morning, you know, people are going to be teeing off. I actually think my buddy Baker's like one of the first tee times tomorrow morning at 6:56.
Yeah, he goes off at like 7:17 or something.
Dude, no, he's just before 7 o'clock.
So
that's, I mean, like, by the time people are listening to this, that aren't catching it here live as we're recording it, Dude, this is a big deal. So what are your expectations over the next 4 days? How's it going to go? What's the run of show?
You mean like on the course or what I'll be doing?
We're going to get into you in just a minute and what you're doing and what you've done. And we're going to talk a little Callaway because you're here and I'm going to use you as much as I can for that. But I'm just saying, day one, are we going to have Corey Connors, you know, are we going to have Dylan Meyer, you know, leading this tournament?
Maybe.
And then by Friday, you know, we have a distinct, like, holy shit, there's the old guy, Lee Westwood, he's doing it again. And then on Saturday, it's Xander and it's Rom, like, Cantlay, what's the story?
If it's a real U.S. Open, yeah. Like, if it's a real U.S. Open, and no respect to your buddy, no disrespect to Chris Baker, but yeah, like, Chris Baker's leading tomorrow. Like, Chris Baker goes out in the morning when it's soft and shoots 67 or 66, and he's in front of the press conference and doing the whole thing. That's a real U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And then hopefully he hangs on and plays really well and gets, like, kind of what Jason Gore did. I think that was in 2006 or 2007 at Oakmont. You know, you want those stories because that's – you get the best of American golf, meaning – it's an open qualifier. Anybody can qualify. And some guy played his ass off for 36 holes, got into the field, and then made a mark. Like, I want to see Cole Hammer or Pearson Cootie or one of those kids come out and shoot a score, you know, banging around, get into the hunt. Like, that's a true U.S. Open. Like, the last thing that I really want to see is unless it's Phil Mickelson or John Rahm, I don't want to see anybody go off and just take this tournament over.
Right.
If Phil Mickelson all of a sudden just decides to play the four rounds of his life and it's like 12 under and killing everybody by 10, the world would explode. I can't even wrap my head around if he won. That would be the sports story of the century.
Well, the PGA Championship at Kiawah, which, by the way, I was highly entertained for four straight days at Kiawah. I thought that was exactly what I wanted out of the PGA Championship. I mean, from beginning to end. And not even Phil winning. Obviously, Phil winning was a big deal. But I just, every day, I loved every second of that major. And I want that for this U.S. Open. Like, yeah. I really want that. So, you know, that kind of leads me to the conversation my buddy Kyle and I were having. We were playing nine at Tim Aquana the day before the PGA started. And it was just like, he's a lefty, my buddy Kyle. And I was just like, hey, man, what do you think? Like, is Phil fucking with us or is he done? And we both kind of looked at each other after I asked the question. He was like, he really can't, right? And then, I don't know, we just kind of somehow were like, dude, but if he did. And then all of a sudden he went off and did it. Now, if it wasn't for the PGA, we would have such a different Phil Mickelson conversation today heading into Torrey. But yeah. Since he did what he did at the PGA, we have to take him so serious. And, like, why not Phil Mickelson, right?
Well, yeah, and I'm watching him. I followed him for an hour and a half Monday and yesterday. And Monday he was hitting it a little squirrely. Yesterday he was sharp as hell. I mean, he's hitting it on the button. He's got his coach out with him. And, you know, I was standing in the fairway on nine, and he was working on something, trying to get the club up. He's, you know, they're all trying to figure out a way to create width and the downswing and this and that. And he's kind of working on this move, and we're standing on the ninth fairway, and, you know, nine's a long par four. And it was that moment where he's like, it clicked, right? So he did it right from like 210, and he hit this five iron up there. And right when he hit it, he's like, oh, there it is. And then he dropped another ball. Yep, that's it. That's it. And then I followed him on, you know, over to the range, and he was just striping it for an hour and a half on the range. So, like, he doesn't have any fear in his game right now. Like, even with a driver, like, he lost a couple left when I watched him, and then, you know, he was working on this movement on the driving range. He had his little mini driver and his driver out. He just, everything. So he's ready to rock and roll. And he knows this golf course like the back of his hand. So Phil Mickelson could win the U.S. Open without a shadow of a doubt.
I don't know if there's any scenario I want more than that. And if you would have talked to me at the PGA, I would have said, dude, how cool. I mean, my buddy and I were having that conversation while we were golfing. We were talking about Phil winning. How cool would that be? I would want no other scenario than Phil Mickelson to win the U.S. Open at Torrey after winning the PGA the way he did. It just would be the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I think it would be the coolest thing anybody's ever seen. I can't imagine a sports story. I mean, think, okay, just go down the list. He would break his record of being the oldest player to win a major. He'd finally win the Grand Slam. His birthday's today. Father's Day on Sunday. It's in his hometown. Golf course he grew up on. So that's six things. And just one of those things is a big deal. But six things. He's got his whole family here.
It's
the
not
world would, the world would melt.
It would like melt.
They're only letting they're letting 10,000 fans in per day. If he's anywhere around the lead going into Sunday, don't think for a second they're not going to leave the key to the gate and leave the door open a little bit and let, like, trust me, there'll be 40,000 people in that place, or else people bust the fences down.
Yeah,
like it'll be an event if he's in the lead going into the final round. It'll be an event.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
So do I. I want to see people.
Please. I want hysteria.
People, well, I want to see people like climbing on top of the Torrey Pines Lodge and the Hilton, just like trying to get a glimpse of what's going on.
One of my favorite things, and it's very underrated, a few years ago, the NCAA championship, this is after they switched it to a match play, which was a great decision, obviously. When it was at Eugene Country Club, you saw, because Oregon, it was Oregon, Texas in the finals going, you saw cooks and employees of Eugene Country Club on the roof of the country club. Yeah. And I just imagine, like, to your point, dude, if that was Phil Mickelson and it was the U.S. Open,
yeah,
dude,
it would be
the roof would collapse.
Yeah, it would be. Dad, would you die if Mickelson won?
What'd he say?
That'd be unbelievable.
That'd be unbelievable. Man, like that opinion, that is the take of the century right there.
That just means it'll be unbelievable. Now it's gospel.
Would be. I want to see it. So let's talk a little Callaway golf. What have you been doing the past few days, you know, keeping busy? What are some equipment takes, some hot takes on equipment for this course? What's the vibe in the equipment truck?
Actually, it wasn't crazy busy. So usually in any given tournament on the truck, you know, I was based on like how many tickets went through the door. And this week there wasn't a lot of tickets. Tickets mean new builds, right?
Yep.
Somebody coming in for a new club or, you know, the big, Phil did some stuff this week. We have a utility, a tour prototype utility that a few of our guys put in. I can't tell you about it. I've already been told to shut up about it, but I can tell you it's a new club that Mickelson put in the bag. I'm pretty sure it's going to go in the bag tomorrow. Akshay Bhatia has one. Xander has one. Whether or not those final two will put in the bag, I don't know. But you know that ROM 3-wood that I have, or the 5-wood?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, those became very popular. So Phil had one of those built to go home and take home and test. Marcus Armitage put a 3 and a 5 wood in. Akshay put the 3 wood in. It's already in play. Those kind of flew out the door. But there was a lot of fairway wood stuff. A couple 7 woods being built. I'll tell you actually a really cool story. You'll get a kick out of this. So we're at Sunday at ECPC. And I was there for like 12 hours because we had a bunch of, Matt Wallace came in, Akshay came in, a bunch of players came in to test, you know, make sure everything was dialed in. So we had our whole tour team there. And Akshay Bhatia was asking the guys about a 3-wood. And they're like, you know, I want to try something different. And so he goes, I want the other one. I had the triple diamond one, but I want the other one. And he looks at, you know, he looks at Jacob and he's like, what one are you talking about? He's like, the one that Johnny has on his Instagram.
That's so funny.
So Jacob looked at me. He's like, what one is that? Is that the ROM one? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I think we have one. So they went and built one up for him. So story goes, on Monday, they're on like the fourth tee and it's Akshay Bhatia, Phil Mickelson, and I forget who else is playing with them. So they're playing, they play a lot of practice rounds together. So Akshay pulls out this little utility wood that he's got on like the, I think it's like the sixth hole or the seventh hole. I forget what hole it is. It's a pretty long par three. And so he hits it and Phil's kind of looking at it like, what is that? Because the way that it works is Akshay is on the truck a lot, right? So he gets a lot of the new product and he's very curious. So he wants to try stuff. And a lot of it's because he's kind of in the know, like, you know, I think he follows my feed and stuff like that.
Is he left-handed?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to see it right again in my, and yeah, super
so
left-handed.
As left-handers go, he sort of chases down the new product before, because Phil works with Garrett Pond, so they have a very strict regimen on how things get, I don't want to say get introduced, but they just work on what they work, and if a new club, if they feel like something's needed, then he'll try one of the new things. So anyway, Akshay hits his hybrid, Phil looks at it, Phil drops the ball down, hits it up there, kind of looking at it, he's like, what the hell? Like, I haven't even seen this thing yet. So then he goes, Jesus Christ, what else do you have in here? He starts peeling the head covers off his bag, and he pulls out a 3-wood, and it's the ROM 3-wood, and he puts it down. He's like, what is this thing? And he's like, oh, it's like, I don't know, like ROM's got it, and this and that. And he's like, well, I want one of these. So he literally had one built. I don't know, he texted somebody, and like right when I went back to the truck, they were already building the ROM 3-wood for Phil. So the way I look at it was like, Johnny Wonder infiltrated that conversation because Akshay got it because he saw it on my Instagram.
Right.
I'm trying to find some sort of a lineage where I'm involved. Even though
you're involved. You're involved from the beginning. Because nobody would pay attention to the fact that John Rahm has a special 3-wood if it wasn't for your Instagram.
Nobody would know, because Callaway would never talk about it. That's right. My job. My job is to talk about it. So then something cool happens. So they get to the 18th tee. Actually, they were playing the back end. They were on 16 with the par 3. So then we get to 18. Phil hits his drive. Akshay hits his drive. And Akshay has been telling Phil that he's looking to reshaft his driver. He wants a little bit more stability. So Phil goes, well, hit mine. Like, my shaft is real stable. You should hit this driver. So there's skinny little Akshay Bhatia pulls out Phil's 48-inch, hammer, 6-degree hammer, and just pounds it down the 18th fairway. So sure as shit, they're in the truck. When I get to the truck, they're building Akshay a brand new, Ventus Black 6TX shaft, extra long. So I think you always wonder how that stuff goes down. I literally watched it all go down. It was just two kids nerding out over gear.
Yeah.
And the only difference is they can snap their finger and get it built right away. So
right. I was going to say, those guys aren't being told no. Now I'm just impressed that they had left-handed versions of that 3-wood ready to go.
Oh yeah.
But I guess because of Phil, they absolutely have to, in case at the drop of the hat, he says,
oh yeah,
I saw this and I want that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's ready to go.
So if you could explain that 3-wood to people, that fairway wood, because I know you got a 5-wood on there. Now, it reminds me, especially the leading edge, reminds me of an old Callaway steelhead or steelhead plus fairway wood. Just the shape of it.
A little bit.
Almost like the leading edge just allows you to get down onto the ball.
Yeah, it's actually a very spinny head.
Yeah, I could see that.
Very spinny out of the bottom and very low spin out of the top. So the way that it's a very old school idea. It's not a new idea. It's very old school. Like, if you remember some of the old SonarTech products had a similar shape. TaylorMade had some shapes that are maybe the light version of this. They took it all the way with this one. But it's if you go on Callaway Golf Twitter feed right now, that's Sam Burns striping a 6-iron. That was my video.
Hey,
by the way,
hey.
I did that. But it's cool. Like, if you go to my Instagram, look at it, I have some pretty cool pictures. But it's for guys like me that pick it, or if you like to hit down on a 5-wood, I like to beat down on 5-woods.
Yep.
And I pick it, so if I pop out of it, I still have enough face to catch it, and it'll still launch. But it's, people ask me about that head all the time. Like, God, I want that head. I'm like, you know what? You don't.
Right.
You don't. It's not very specific. Like, it works for me because how I deliver it. Like, you might like it. I think you'd spin it too much.
Well, I'm not hitting any kind of 5-wood for one, but if it was in a 3-wood, I need my 3-wood to just be a straight rocket. Like, I need it to go as far as possible off the deck. And if I spin it, it's not going to go far enough.
That's not this head.
Yeah. I don't want it. I do want the driver. I want to try. I don't want the driver. I want to try. See, I love the Epic Speed shape more than I like the Max LS shape, but I want to try it with weight forward and see, like, can it work? Because right now I overdraw.
Did you see the new driver? You want to see my new driver?
No, I saw it and I said, what the like a bunch of Fs. Like, what the hell, man? Like, this is all I want is to try this triple diamond.
This is a U.S. Open head cover.
It's pretty cool. It's not a Steez head cover, but it's okay. I don't care.
But yeah. So this is the idea behind it.
So hold on. If you're watching on IG Live, Johnny is right-handed. It's just a reverse camera.
Yeah. So I love the driver that they built for me. I hit it out of the middle. I hit it plenty far, this and that. The only problem is that the head can get a little spinny. So if I hit it a little bit, if I start it a little bit right, I can get some floaters with it. So the kind lady at Mitsubishi, who's a friend of mine, they saved one of these shafts for me, which is like a Patriot.
Yep.
Rah-Rah USA, which, you know, that's my jam.
Rah-Rah USA 1K.
Tensei 1K. So I'm like, oh shit, I want to build this up. Like, why wouldn't I? So I'm talking to Kellen on the truck and I'm like, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Cause he built the first driver for me. I'm like, what do I do? So he's like, get a new head, get an 8.5 head. Cause he's like, yours is 9 open to 8. He's like, so just get an 8.5 head and same weighting, same everything. He's like, but pick out one of the heavy heads. So this head started at 195 grams. So it's on the heavier side for us.
Yeah.
And he's like, just make all the weights the same and set it up. He's like, so now your start line will be a little better. You're not going to get those floaters because you might spin it a little bit less. So we're going to go give this but it's a identical spec to the other one. It's just a little bit lower loft and the face angle is a little bit different.
Yeah, I saw the 8.5 and that's when my mouth dropped. I said, I sent you WT in like 12 Fs. Like, yeah. What the fuck? This is all I want, man.
It's on fire. So I don't know. I might hit it good. I might not. I have no idea.
Well, when it's bad, you've got my address.
I know exactly where you live. Yeah.
I want to give it a proper wallop. But I'm hitting my driver really good, so we don't need to change it. I literally haven't hit an epic speed triple diamond, and I want to. That's all. So well, one day.
You always want the new, don't you?
Well, I have my bag pretty set. And if anything, my driver's too low spinning, which is great because when I miss it a little low heel, it still flies 290, which is fantastic because of the low spin. But
yeah.
I really like the Epic Speed shape. And really, that's what it comes down to. I love the shape. I think it's a damn good driver, but it spins too much and goes too far right to left for me. So that's how I want the forward CG.
What else are we talking about today?
Well, we don't really have to talk a lot about much. I wanted to get you on. I wanted to get the pulse of Torrey. What's going on, on the tour trucks? What's going on with the players at Callaway Golf? Obviously, I mentioned Xander, but I think X-Man obviously is the sentimental favorite of the young guys, you know, and even maybe more so than Rom in a sense, being from there. Obviously, US Open, the USGA did a really cool piece involving Xander, and I thought that was really cool and his story.
Is that thing on the Golf Channel, a little half hour show? They did a great job.
It was awesome. The whole thing was awesome.
Like,
I think
it was like Hard Knocks for golf.
It was so good. If we could just get more of that, do you know how amazing golf content on TV would be? I want that.
So do I. This is the problem, is that, like, I don't say this arrogantly. If they said, okay, Johnny, for a month, you're gonna program everything that goes on the Golf Channel. At first, if I told them my ideas, they're like, no, no one's gonna watch that. No, nobody wants to know about all that stuff. I'm like, okay, tell you what, just give me 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, it would be good. I guarantee you, the audience, like, it would be a crowd pleaser.
Do you know what I think people want more of? One, that. Two, kind of the day-to-day that you see. I would even argue the day-to-day that I see here in the Fitting Bay, more so than School of Golf. Like, I think we are over golf lessons on TV, man.
Well, no, because you don't need them anymore because you got kids like Jake Hutt and all these kids on Instagram that are gnarly teachers that can teach you in 2 seconds.
Yep.
Like, what's the point? Like, I don't need anybody to tell me on Golf Channel. I got my phone right here. I can get the tip of all tips, like, in 2 seconds.
I mean, I'm a nobody, and I don't know shit about the golf swing, but I can give a tip, and it's just as important as a 30-minute show, and I can do it in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Or 50 seconds, whatever.
I don't need to turn on the TV to get a golf lesson.
By the way, all due respect to those that are doing those shows, it's not their fault. They got, I would, if you paid me to do that, I would do it.
I would do it happily.
So, you know, it's like, you pay me to do that. You pay me to travel. I think a lot of the shit that No Laying Up is doing, when I know they just posted some videos and obviously they're on Callaway, I think that, you know, they're doing some really cool stuff that people want to see. So it's like, how do we turn that into a TV show and just do it? Or does it lose its sauce because it's, you know, online and that's where we live?
The medium of TV is not, it's like movie theaters anymore. Like, unless it's Star Wars, I'm not going to the theater. You know what I mean? Unless it's Avengers or Star Wars or something big and grand. Top Gun, I don't want to see it. Like, I don't want to see it in a theater. And that's how TV's becoming. It's like, we're so used to having total control over our content, because we do. We can push play, record, stop, whatever. And when it's on TV, you're kind of at the mercy of the rhythm of television. And, like, nobody wants it anymore. It's like, okay, great, I guess I'll just watch YouTube. Maybe it's on YouTube, and I can control and get past all the bullshit. And
well, that's just it. I mean, that's seriously it. You can get anything and everything you want when it comes to golf and golf tips on YouTube. So why are we doing that? I want more of that Xander shit, because that was amazing. Somebody mentioned the Lanto Griffin bit. That was amazing. I mean, obviously, I knew nothing of his story. So
neither did I.
Yeah,
and I knew with him every week. I don't know anything about him. I just know he's a PGA Tour player.
I knew nothing. Yeah, I know he's a damn good player, and his story is pretty amazing. So I'm pretty pumped about stuff like that. I just want it more often, you know.
How's this driver, though?
Well, I was just talking to Mel earlier, because Mel was like, she was on Mitsubishi's website, and she's building out our site so people can just go to our site and buy shit instead of, like, DMing us all the time and all that, which is great, but it's hard to track. And she was just like, oh my God, this Patriot edition or this, first responder edition, Tennessee blue is amazing. And I was like, it's like a Tennessee blue, right? Like, give me a 1K. And then you pop up with that. And I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
So
let me tell you something.
If Mitsubishi's listening, Jonathan, if you're listening and you want to send some of those, I will buy them, because I know people will buy them.
It is, it's on fire. If this driver sucks, it doesn't matter. It's the coolest looking driver I think I may have ever seen.
Yeah. No, it looks cool. Would you say that you're pretty much, when it comes to your driver, you're planted Fuji or Mitsubishi product?
Driver, yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason I shouldn't say that. I'll tell you why. I haven't had enough time with everything else. Like, my close friends in the industry are Mitsubishi or Fujikura people. So to the point where if something new comes out, for example, they'll tell me, yes, you should try it, or no, don't, like, this isn't for you. Like, they just know, like,
right.
Like, if it's Marshall at Fujikura or Zane at Mitsubishi, I've done fittings with those guys. They build clubs for me constantly. Like, so they just know, like, yeah, that profile, like, definitely try that. And usually the point, if it comes out, they'll be like, dude, I just came out with this. Like, you got to try this.
Yep.
Like that. So I'm in an ecosystem where I can't really, and Eric Boyson, who's the rep at Graphite Design, is pretty awesome too, but I don't know that product that well. So for me, it's like, I'm getting to, like, he sent some stuff that I love, not since I've been at Callaway, but, you know, I just haven't enough time with it. I'm sure there's other stuff out there that's just as good or better. I just haven't.
Right.
I haven't tried it. I tried it enough, but I will say that in a driver shop, this 1K, I have it in two different drivers now. I've never not liked it. Like, I've never not set it down and hit it out of the guts.
Right.
So hard to argue.
Yeah. When you came here before Battle at the Beach, I that was the first shaft to put in your hands.
Which was a shaft that I liked. I liked it a lot. But then my first tournament or second week out, Kellen built me this one with a 1K, and it was a wrap.
Right.
So.
Oh, hey.
Look at Mel.
Mel just commented. She commented.
You like my tan, Mel? You like the fact that it's only right here and dude, not here?
She hits you on the, you were doing a video the other day and she saw your tan. She's like, is that Johnny? I mean, I was like, I thought for a second I had to be like scared that she was going to leave me.
No, I look like an old leather satchel.
you look good. You look like you've been enjoying it. It's been really good to see you going out and playing golf, man. That's been like my favorite part of your new opportunity with Callaway is, you look like you're enjoying that side of life too.
I'm getting to play a little bit. I'm getting to know the Callaway product really well. And I got to say, dude, and we haven't really talked much. I put those, they built me a set of those Apex 21s, and I bent them weak and did everything I could to just kind of, you know, kind of bend the game improvement out of them.
Yeah.
I am having so much fun with these things.
Are you hitting them good?
So much fun.
Hey,
they're amazing.
You're a purist. So, you are a purist at heart. Do you love them? Do they make you a better golfer? Tell me the honest answer.
190%. I'm a better iron, because you know me, I'm not a great iron player. I'm a good short iron player.
Yeah, you're great 8-9 wedge down. You're just perfect.
I suck 4, 5, 6, and 7, right? With these, I've hit, okay, so like I'm never a guy that hits an iron off the tee. Like I would never go on a tee. I always take a 5-wood or 3-wood or whatever, hit driver. I have no problem taking 4-iron out with these Apex and just whistling it down there 220. I feel like I'm 20 years younger. And I put them in the bag. My gapping, my whole bag gaps out perfectly now. I don't have that weird gap between my 5-wood would go 230, 235, and my 4-iron would go 205.
Right.
Now I have this little perfect little gap. Everything's just perfect. So I, like right now, I'll be trying some new wedges next week, but I don't even want new wedges. But like right now, my bag's cooked.
You're in. All right.
I say that and I just built a fucking brand new driver yesterday.
Yeah. That's just an evergreen thing though. That's an evergreen spot. Like driver can last for it can always, it's a rotating spot, right? Like there's no such thing as like your driver, right? You can't have that. Whereas like,
no, that's an equal opportunity part of my bag. That and the putter are like, I'm a little slutty in those areas. Like it could go either way. Yeah.
I get it. I'm so like, Johnny, you're going to be the next time we golf, you're going to be flabbergasted by the fact, like I am the best putter you've ever been in touch with, period.
What are you putting with now?
The Cobra Agera with a Stability Tour. So
the 3D one.
The 3D one, it's a big face balance block. Duffner had it.
I saw it on the truck. It's hideous, but it's supposed to roll really good.
Bro, I'm telling you, it's a big block, and everything goes in. Everything goes in. I switched to a claw permanently. I got a good setup. I got a great routine. I am the best putter you've ever met. Period.
So you did the same thing. You did the same thing with a putter that I did with the irons. I went from like serviceable, maybe serviceable iron player to like I'm a good like. And I said that in an Instagram post. Like I've become a good iron player. Like I get to 195 yard hole. I'm like I can hit a good shot here. For example, we went out and played the Farms last week. It was a great golf course, but they have a couple of like 190, 195 yard holes. I think it's the second hole. It was like 185 downwind. I hit 7-iron to like this. I did not have that shot with my other club.
Those are the best.
I'm talking about just this high, soft bomb that carries forever, hits the green, stops. Like I didn't have that shot. For me, it's like, dude, I'm having a crush of six. I'm going to miss hit it, probably hit it thin, come up short, or go way long.
So Mel commented, and she said, so what you're saying is Battle at the Beach 22 champs.
Correct.
Would you argue that this will be the first time that you and I have ever actually came in on point?
Yeah.
Like,
well, you know me, the last every year we played, this will be our fourth year. I've come in dirty.
Dude.
Every year.
You come in and it's your first round of the year.
With brand new clubs.
Every year. So promise me that your bag, we will not do a Brian Golf like fire sale in the bay.
Emergency fitting? No.
Please, no more of that. Oh my God. If whatever you have in the bag in November is working, please just keep it till March. If you've got new shit to promote, bring it. Pretend that it's in the bag. Do the PGA Tour shit, but put a fucking good head cover, a new head cover on your old driver and let's go.
No, we'll be ready to. I'll be ready to cook. It's funny, like so. I've represented at every Battle of the Beach 3 different OEMs. Yep. I have full brand new Corba bag, year one. Full brand new TaylorMade bag, year two. Full brand new Callaway bag, year three. To the point where the clubs that I played at Battle of the Beach got sent to you before I even saw them.
Absolutely.
Like they were there. They were there in Florida before I even got there for like a week. You were there.
I still have some of your golf balls here, man, from when they said it, and some of your hats. I got all sorts of shit. Dude, we've been, people have been coming in and buying Travis Matthew hats that you just left here. Like, we just like, yeah, $25. Sure. Oh, the ball is $47.99. Yeah. It's like, those are Johnny's. I mean, they might as well say Johnny Wonder on the ball.
Oh, my God. By the way, really quick, because you're playing the Chrome Soft XLS.
I am.
Okay, so I started messing with it. So on the truck they have obviously boxes of balls or whatever, right? So I took out the LS, and I'm a low spin player. I'm a high spin low spin player. So like a low spin ball is never really. I didn't realize how good that ball was. It's only low spin off the driver for me. It actually spins with the irons, which I was fascinated by. So, like, I started playing it. I'm like, I love this ball. Amazing.
So what you should see and what everybody should look at, and it happens a lot of times here in the Bay because, you know, the one thing we want to see is more ball speed off the driver. And when I've got somebody working on a driver and we need more ball speed, obviously we need less spin, I go, you know what? We've been hitting these Pro V1Xs, and I know that ball. It's a great ball. It might be the best Pro V1 ever made.
Played it forever, yeah.
I throw the LS in there and their ball speed goes up and their spin comes down. But to your point, like I still check wedges. My bunker plays amazing. My distance control, 100 yards and in, is the best it's ever been. So, like with that being said, you can't be scared of that low spin ball. It's firmer, but I'm so over that shit. Like everything feels good off the Apex Pros, and my wedges or the Clevelands are amazing, but it just rocks off the driver in fairway woods.
That part, the sound part, wait till next year.
Come on.
Wait till you see the LS ball next year.
Don't do that. I just switched.
No, I know, but there's another iteration coming, not next year, but in the future, like the next iteration of that ball.
Whatever.
Is going to be the ball that, in my opinion, that's going to separate, like all of a sudden Callaway is going to be like, because it's already a very fast growing golf ball company like that. The funny thing is like the My Golf Spy, and I love the My Golf Spy guys. I love them all. But they came out with this report and it was like, oh, the quality of the ball, QC, this and that. The problem is they focus solely on Callaway. If you go through the whole industry, everybody's got lopsided balls at some point. You have, you're making 50 million balls a year. It's going to happen. Sorry. And I know, trust me, if anyone would know, I've seen where these balls are made. It's the same. The Titleist is very tight. Tolerance is a quality control. So does Callaway. So does TaylorMade. They all do, but there's bad balls happen.
Yep.
You know, at some points in the production cycle more than often, you know, one thing could be off and it could throw off the cycle to the ball. It happens. But Callaway golf balls, you're going to see, and I would say this if I was still at WRX, hand on the Bible. What this company is going to do with a golf ball in the next 2 or 3 years is the same kind of transition that TaylorMade went from making really shitty golf balls to really quality golf balls. Like now everybody's making really, really good golf balls. Callaway is going to, you're going to start seeing non-Callaway staffers play Callaway balls on tour in the next 2 or 3 years. So that's going to happen. Because right now, everybody's playing the OEM ball or a Titleist.
Yep.
There's no in between.
Right.
It's just everybody that doesn't want to play our ball or TaylorMade's ball is playing a Titleist ball. Callaway is going to start chewing into that Titleist thing. Trust me.
I believe it.
And I think it's going to be because of this LS ball.
Hey, I believe it. We'll end it on this. I mean, for the fact of the matter of, like, for me, I've never Callawayed anything in my bag, period, ever. Period. FT Tour. Right. Never touched a Chrome Soft in my life. Obviously went to the Apex Pros. Great decision. I've got them 4 through 9 iron. Love them. The ball is just, it's special. And sometimes GC Quad even, and as accurate and as much as I love GC Quad, sometimes I get such low readings on GC Quad off this ball spin-wise. It's just not fair. because I take it on the golf course and it's the best golf ball I've ever hit off the tee, ever.
Yeah.
I hit my longest drives with it. I hit my misses are the best. Some of my drives are dead straight when they shouldn't be. It's amazing. It's definitely a ball that everyone should give a shot. So I think that, you know, for me too, I haven't even looked in the direction of the Chrome Soft X. I hit it in here and I'm like, nope, Chrome Soft obviously is not for me. So I don't even try that. But, you know, the LS and the Chrome Soft, I mean, the LS checks every box on every single club. So
that's good.
I'm not surprised, dude. Look, I know you got to go. I know you got a special dinner, probably with your dad. Your dad's coming.
Yep. He's in the bathroom freshening up for the big dinner.
I like it. It's your turn. Maybe get some fake tan for your forehead.
Maybe.
Get some
probably
of that.
Not. I'll put a hat on.
Probably not. Just going to continue wearing a hat. I need one of those. I need to get one of them the rope hats, the Callaway rope hat.
You know what? Stand in line behind me. I'm trying to get myself one. Akshay hat.
I'm upset with you. If that doesn't happen, I'm upset with you.
I'll work on it.
Because I know you.
I got your weights, by the way. I still haven't sent off your weights. I realized, I asked Joe, I'm like, hey, did those weights go off? He's like, no, you never gave them to me. They're in my backpack.
I'll send them off.
At some point.
My Joe is going to love that answer. All right. Okay. You are the keeper of those weights. My friend, Johnny Wonder at Callaway Golf. You can find him at callawaygolf.com/World of Wonder.
If you go to callawaygolf.com/WOW, you will find my website.
Wow.
And it's a gear junkies paradise. If you like Callaway tour equipment.
It's the best. And if anything, you can just get to know Johnny a little bit better. He's a great guy, stand-up guy. He came on the Brian Golf Show, and I appreciate that so much.
I appreciate you.
You have a great U.S. Open week. I love you, buddy.
Love you, buddy.
All right. See you, man.
Bye.
All right. I think that's about as simple as it gets, right? We have the U.S. Open. I hope you enjoy the week. This is the Brian Golf Show presented by Pinned Golf. My pick and what I believe was Johnny Wonder's pick. John Rahm, but nobody's surprised by that, right?